grace and peace and love from our home to yours. Welcome to Worship with Pine Street Church at Home Edition on this October 18, 2020. Thank you for joining us. And if you are joining us for one of the first times, I invite you to let me know if you would. You can write me at andrew@pinestreetchurch.net. I would love to hear from you and find ways that you might connect with what's happening at Pine Street Church these days. Well, we are in the midst of World Mission Offering through the month of October. You can find out all about what that means through the Pine Street Post, as well as the video that we watched together last Sunday. Thanks for your faithfulness in giving to special offerings like World Mission Offering through the month of October, and certainly to our annual operating budget. We are so grateful for your giving and your faithfulness. If this, for example, this Sunday worship video is impactful to you and meaningful to you, I invite you to go to our website, pinestreetchurch.net/giving, and offer your financial gifts in that way. You could also give to World Mission Offering in that way, or you may also send your financial gifts to our church office, which is being checked twice a week at 1237 Pine Street, Boulder, Colorado. As always, we have a few ways you can connect in the life of our church. Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. is Art Brunch with Waverly Matthews. Tuesday mornings at 9 a.m., our Men's Coffee Fellowship. On Thursdays at 1:30 p.m., Oasis Women's Study Group. They are reading the book, So You Want to Talk About Race. Also on Thursday evenings, our short-term group right now with Debbie Setlock, Exploring Sacred Movement. So those are at least four ways you can connect in a smaller setting and to find community and conversation and ways to connect with God and to one another. Well, this past week, as you now know, we have sort of soft launched a brand new creative project that is what I say powered by Pine Street Church, supported by Pine Street Church. It's called Hyphenated Life. It's a podcast at the intersection of spirituality and culture, and we explore all sorts of things like faith and theology and art and music and politics and adventurous conversation. I invite you to go to hyphenatedlife.org and check out what's happening there. This coming Thursday, we will release officially episode one with Dr. Jonathan Lee Walton and Dr. Bill Leonard from Wake Forest University School of Divinity. We're going to be talking about good trouble this coming Thursday and talking about the Bible, faith, and race in America, which is a timely topic. So please tell all your friends and neighbors about it. Share on your social media channels, Hyphenated Life. You can follow us on Facebook also at Hyphenated Life, and that information can be found in your Pine Street Post, or check out Thursday's email about that soft launch for Hyphenated Life. I'm so grateful again that you've joined us today. We are in, this will be message number four in the series of spiritual wellness at home, full-bodied faith in the time of COVID. And actually, I'm just really curious about what sacred space looks like in your own home. If you have a photograph of a time that you have celebrated communion on one of these at-home worship editions, I wish that you would send a photo of that or where you're finding sacred space at home in these days. We would love to share that next Sunday on the different ways that you are creating sacred space at home in this unusual, continued unusual time of this global pandemic, as it has forced us to find adaptive ways to be church together. As we step into this worship experience today, let us do so with this prayer of welcome and invitation. Creating God deeper than we know you to be, and yet as close as our very breath, more fundamental than anything we can fully feel or fully think. At our living core, we are wholeness and transfiguring love because we are created in your image. And we often forget that power, becoming lonely or resentful, comparing ourselves to others, acting out of our fears rather than living in our blessedness and gift, sometimes keeps us from your presence. But in this 30 or 40 minutes today, O God, together, we don't want to do that. And so we open our minds, we open our hearts, and we give ourselves fully to you. Awaken us from our numbness, from our trance, to remember our wholeness, body, spirit, and mind. For the next little while, O God, let us find rest in You. Let us find peace in You. In the name of the Spirit of life and love, continually inspiring us and empowering us to be the fullness of love in this world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen.
Today, we continue this message series, Living an Undivided Life, Full-Bodied Faith in the Time of COVID-19. Today, we're talking a little bit about what it means to love God with our minds, or to put it another way, to think critically and live faithfully. I think this is an important topic that can't be captured in one sermon, of course, and we also know by now how important it is to social distance during this pandemic, to wear masks, to wash our hands, avoid large gatherings. We might add to that, take care of your mental health. COVID-19 has taken a toll on mental health and well-being. There's been physical isolation, school closures, financial fallout for many, and even thinking of frontline workers who are working more with the uptick in stress and trauma, depression and burnout that surrounds that work. And that's true for many more of us too who aren't frontline workers, right? And so it's hard to talk about loving God with our minds and not talk about our mental health and well-being. So let me just say today, if you're feeling exhausted, if you're feeling tired and uninspired, if you're feeling grief or even having moments of despair or hopelessness, you are not alone. Truth be told, I'm feeling some of those same things in my own ways. It's like some of us have hit that 7-month wall and we're feeling what someone described this past week as crisis fatigue. Ariana Gallagher is a social worker and trauma specialist at Ohio State University, and she describes crisis fatigue as a mixture of exhaustion, rage, disgust, despair, desperation, hypervigilance, anxiety, and grief. And it's like these symptoms are on steroids right now, right? Because there is no immediate end in sight with COVID-19. We have the racial and political injustices, status of the U.S. economy. And so some days it can feel like we're standing on the edge of a cliff. Now, that's not the most helpful metaphor, is it? I mean, somebody said in an article this week that she changed that metaphor to a staircase, going from edge of a cliff to staircase, and she described a time in her life when she felt confused. She was freaking out, and she writes, "One day, rather spontaneously and unexpectedly, I had an image of myself sitting in the middle of a staircase, not knowing if I was going up or down. It was a dark staircase, and I felt afraid. I felt anxious and alone. And while I was not mature enough back then," because she was talking about being in her 20s with this experience, and she said, "I wasn't mature enough back then to know what I was doing, but I decided to embrace that image and to just live with it for a while. And every day I would bring that metaphor to mind and simply notice it without interpretation and without forcing it to go someplace. After several days," she said, "I started noticing changes in the metaphor. Like one day I realized I was not alone on that staircase. I had friends who would come and visit me or bring me food and sit with me. I noticed that the image of a staircase was much less frightening than the image of standing on the edge of a cliff." Go figure, right? And some days, she said, "I grieved profoundly while sitting on the stairs, and other days, the staircase seemed brighter. After several weeks, I noticed, much to my surprise, that I was no longer sitting on those stairs." Now, I think that is a profound exercise of mental and spiritual imagination. And this is part of why I think to love God with our minds is embracing our intellect, embracing our ability to be thinking people, and to embrace that as a gift, and to also have the awareness to notice when it becomes a liability too. Like when we live by, you know, paralysis by analysis, we can get stuck maybe in a memory or get stuck in a circumstance or a relationship or a way of thinking even that makes us small or makes us feel anxious and afraid. And so to tame our thoughts so that they don't have so much power over us is a big deal. Because when we overthink and overanalyze, we, you know, it's sort of like mental images are like plants. The more you water them, the more they grow. And what we water and feed grows. And so I'd ask today, what mental images are you watering and feeding these days? It gives new meaning to that daily Facebook prompt, what's on your mind, doesn't it? Right after this message today, we will do a guided meditation that can help us calm our chaotic minds, to center us, to give us grounding in gratitude, to give us grounding in God's love. And I hope that you will stick around to use this guided meditation today to clear maybe any chaos and clutter you might be holding, especially in thoughts and images and anxieties, because this is part of what it means to care for our minds, to love God with all of our minds. And Lord knows that this time of social and physical isolation has given us more time to think, right? I mean, those big questions, who am I? What matters to me? Even what is it that I really truly believe? One unexpected gift of this tragic health pandemic is that it has given us time to think more. We think about our lives. We can pause long enough to think about who we are, maybe make changes that we have been thinking of for a long time. I love what leadership guru Meg Wheatley talks about in terms of the gifts of what she calls reclaiming time to think. She writes, "We humans possess some unique capacities. We can stand apart from what's going on, think about it, question it, imagine it being different. We are also curious. We want to know why. We figure out how. And we think about what's past. We dream forward to the future. We create what we want rather than just accept what is. So far, we're the only species we know that does this." Isn't that a mind-blowing thought? We human beings with such a self-reflective capacity, thinking is a gift. Because thinking is where intelligent actions begin, right? Now, I grew up in an anti-intellectual religious atmosphere. I was told things like, oh, you're thinking too much. It was a kind of the Bible said it and that settles it mentality. Easy peasy. But not so easy for me as a kid to take that kind of quote-unquote advice. In an upcoming episode of our new podcast, Hyphenated Life, the Reverend Susan Springer talks about this larger intellectual tradition of the church, which we ought to be happy to embrace with humility and some humor. And I want to let you listen in a little bit of this episode of Hyphenated Life that will be released in a couple of weeks. But here's Susan Springer talking about some of that larger intellectual tradition of the church, and in a way, talking about how we claim a tradition to love God with our minds. Here she is.
And when you talk about mystical progressive Christianity, could you say a little bit more about what that means to you and put it in a wider context in this sort of conversation?
Sure. I'll start with the Episcopal Church, but I think what I have to say about the way we regard Scripture will probably ring true for many of your listeners. So in the 15th century, 16th century, Richard Hooker in the Church of England really captured the way Episcopalians regard Holy Scripture. He said, "Everything necessary for salvation is contained in Holy Scripture. but not everything in Holy Scripture is necessary for salvation. Much of the Bible is historically conditioned. Not every sentence of Scripture carries equal weight. And so Episcopalians bring to the reading and study of Scripture reason, human reason. We have what you might call a high anthropology or a high regard for our own intellect. And, you know, we believe in kind of midrashing things out, hashing things out, especially the difficult sayings of Jesus, rather than saying, well, this particular text obviously means this or that. So we give some latitude. So in that regard, we would be called, I think, progressive.
Thank you, Susan. Yes, that rings true to me, especially when we think about the Bible and to see that not every sentence, as Susan mentioned, not every sentence of Holy Scripture carries equal weight. And as she also said, to the point of hashing things out of the difficult sayings of Jesus, that latitude of how even we see the Bible as progressives or progressive mystics. That wasn't even a thing that I knew about, you know, earlier on in my life, but it is part and parcel of how I've come to think about God, how I've come to think about the Bible, how I've come to understand Jesus. Now, here's a little random factoid here, quick aside. I've been binge watching the show Schitt's Creek during this pandemic. I honestly can't get enough of it, and if you don't know it, you check it out. Basically, it's a father-son passion project with Eugene and Daniel Levy, and it's turned into this wildly popular sleeper hit, and that's how I begin to describe the show, Schitt's Creek. And if you haven't heard of the show before the Emmy Awards recently, you'd be hard-pressed not to after Schitt's Creek took home 7 Emmys, including every lead actor and actress award for a comedy series. So, you know, what started as this small Canadian show on a basic cable network grew into a meme-worthy, all anyone could talk about sensation after Netflix picked up the series. Anyway, one of the main characters is Maura Rose. The whole show's about the Rose family, and Maura lives in this, you know, sort of grandiose reality where the world seemingly revolves around her, and the love she shares with her husband, Johnny, is something that never falters. No matter what happens, they're each other's rock, and she says, John, how was I to know you were in peril? You keep everything inside like a bashful clam. Well, I was a bashful clam for a long time in my little spiritual and theological world, but my intuition led me to believe that I could ask all the questions I wanted to be able to learn and grow, but that was too often shut down, and that's part of why I took an elevator from my heart to my head for so long. It was like this pendulum shift, this pendulum swing. And I'm in a place in my own spiritual life where I'm with Henry Nouwen and the deeper tradition of Christian mystics of what they call the mind descending into the heart. The mind descending into the heart. And even a simple mantra or phrase or a quiet meditation on a word like, oh God, come to my assistance can help. Or a word like peace. Or a word like presence. A simple, easily repeated prayer, word, or phrase can slowly empty out our crowded interior life and create this quiet space where we can dwell with God. And it can be like a ladder along which we can descend into the heart and ascend to God. This is part of our journey of discovery, to find out what it means to love God with all of our mind. And it's why it's astounding to contemplate how loving God with all of our mind is such a huge part of the Torah and a huge matter to Jesus. In the words of Vincent Donovan, never accept and be content with unanalyzed assumptions, assumptions about the work, about the people, about the church or Christianity. Never be afraid to ask questions about the work we have inherited or the work we are doing. There is no question that should not be asked
or that is outlawed. The day we are completely satisfied with what we have been doing, the day we have found the perfect, unchangeable system of work, the perfect answer, never in need of being corrected, again, on that day, we will know that we are wrong, that we have made the greatest mistake of all. I love those words because it reminds me that even Jesus, I mean, Jesus wasn't afraid of any question ever put to him. He wasn't threatened. He was witty and wise when he responded to that attorney where Jesus quoted the Shema. These two scriptures we've been reading every week for the past four Sundays. I mean, it's as if Jesus is taking the best of his own Jewish tradition to encourage us to cultivate a ravenous appetite for understanding. It's like, get curious about the world in which you live. Ask questions. Keep asking those questions. Become a lifelong learner. And that sounds easy enough, but those who would love God with all of their mind should be aware this journey is not for the faint of heart. Whether you're an intuitive thinker or an analytical thinker, this journey is not for the faint of heart. For all of its blessing, learning can be disorienting. Learning can be confusing and exhausting, frustrating, scary. So if you want to love God with all of your intellect, you'll need to cultivate qualities like humility, courage, trust. My friends, my fellow pineheads, we are people on a journey of faith, and we believe faith is a journey that we must make our own, but it is not a journey we have to make alone. We can value, and we do, growth and learning. We believe a mind is a terrible thing to waste when it comes to faith, and so we seek to create spiritual growth opportunities that nourish the life of the mind. And we can think about information. Sometimes we think about nourishing our intellect or nourishing the life of the mind in terms of information. And it's true that we value that kind of lifelong learning where people can, you know, wrestle with the paradoxes and promises of our faith. But again, the mind, it is a terrible thing to waste when it comes to faith, whether it's in a small group, whether it's one of the ongoing small groups that we participate in, Art Brunch, Oasis, Exploring Sacred Movement, wherever we are nourishing our whole selves, it is a part of what it means to nourish the life of the mind too. But it's not just information. It is transformation. To transform, we value growth through the way of Jesus that leads to becoming more genuine lovers of God, more genuine lovers of ourselves, and more genuine lovers of other people. And so the question is always, how can we turn information into transformation? The beauty and power of faith is found as grace makes it possible to actually follow the teachings of Christ and to live them into reality with integrity and grace, full-bodied faith. This is why we think and that we like being part of a community like Pine Street Church, for instance. And that's why I'd say to anyone who is listening and watching today, anyone who is curious about being part of a faith community like this one, we think you'll like us. Love the Lord your God with all your mind. Let's think more about this, shall we? Amen. Thank you. My friends, thank you for joining us for Pine Street Church Worship at Home edition today. Please share this link with your family and friends if you would. Anybody who needs a word of hope and comfort and challenge and inspiration in these crazy days, I invite you to just do a little bit and send an email to somebody that you know. You can forward the email that you received in your inbox this morning and share this on your social media channels. I also want to say that the annual Boulder County Crop Walk is coming up and starting today through next Sunday. We are looking to find ways to donate to ending hunger in our community and nationally. That's part of what Boulder Crop Walk means. So if you would be so interested and inclined, you can check out again the Pine Street Post to learn about how you can create a personal page for the Boulder Crop Walk and raise money in that way, or support the Pine Street Church Pineheads and offer donations in that way. You can link to all of your social media platforms to reach out to your circle of influence and to build awareness and to create some positivity and hope. If you would like to know more information or learn more about how you can connect to the Boulder County Crop Walk, you can contact our team captain, Debbie Setlock, who's also part of our leadership council, at Setlock7@msn.com. As you walk out into this day, as you go forth from this worship experience, I hope that you will keep in mind all who need our prayer and our prayers and our care in these days. We especially are holding in our hearts Larry Van Spreel, Shel Schuttenberg, Bob Stacy, Estelle Torpy, and we are holding close so many more who whose names are on our community care list. You can always write me, andrew@pinestreetchurch.net, to let me know about what your prayer requests or community needs are. And you can also contact the chair of our ministry nurture team, Reverend Carol Simpson, to let us know what is going on in your lives, if we can be so mindful and in prayer for whatever is happening in your life that you would like support about. Please know that is always available. As you go out into this day, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God grant you the grace never to sell yourself short, the grace to risk something big for something good, the grace to know that the world is too dangerous for anything but truth, and too small for anything but love. And so may God take your minds and think through them. And may God take your lips and speak through them. And may God take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.
O God, who gives to humankind a searching heart and questing mind, grant us to find your truth and laws and wisdom. Christ.